Mr. Flythe, you ran for Brunswick County Board of Commissioners in 2016, and you had some very clear items on your agenda that caused you to run. What now is causing you to run for the Brunswick County Board of Education?
Well, first of all, I believe that any incumbent should not have a free ride. And since no one else was available to run or for the Board of Education, and I have quite a bit of interest in education because I have a 15-year career as a teacher. So that's the primary reason. Also, I was concerned about the way that teachers have been treated the last several years, particularly during the post-recession years, and they've lost a lot of benefits and pay. So I wanted to work on that, as well as promote the STEM curriculum. I have a background, of course, in education as a scientist, and that's where the jobs are now, technical jobs. So I want to promote that STEM curriculum in the school system, that science, technology, engineering, and math. Another goal or strategy is to promote partnerships among the Brunswick County school system and community organizations, both business and religious organizations. And of course, one example of that is the partnership between Brunswick Community College and Brunswick County Schools, in which students are allowed to, if they maintain an unweighted average of at least 2.3, and they have been students in the high school system in Brunswick County for 4 years, then they are allowed to go to Brunswick Community College free of charge, free tuition, as well as a stipend of $750 for their books.
Now, that's in existence now.
Yes.
What are some of the new partnerships that you'd like to create?
Well, we want to create a partnership between the community college and the schools, in which they can emphasize career technical education. Brunswick County schools cannot afford to pay for all of the equipment, as maybe teachers as well, in this particular area. But we need to emphasize that, and I feel that Brunswick Community College would be a good partner in terms of promoting career technical education or STEMs overall, because there's a tremendous need for students to go into these areas. Jobs, so many people say we need to get more jobs in Brunswick County and in the area, southeastern North Carolina. However, there are a lot of skilled jobs that are going vacant. They're vacant now because we do not have the skilled workers. So if Brunswick Community College can work with the school system in encouraging or motivating students to take the necessary courses and to attend community colleges, that would be a good thing.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Tell us about your 15-year career in education. What did you teach?
I've taught science, chemistry, physical science, and physics at the high school as well as college level. Once I obtained my doctorate in physical organic chemistry from Howard University, I returned to my alma mater, John C. Smith University in Charlotte, and taught for a year and a half, primarily chemistry courses. I did not feel that I had the patience to teach at that particular time. So then I spent the next 20 years in the chemical and pharmaceutical industries, working as a quality control chemist and a senior laboratory supervisor. Then once I got laid off at the Pfizer chemical plant in Southport, I decided to take some courses at UNCW in education and then teach for 12 years at North Brunswick High School, chemistry, physical science, and physics.
And as a teacher, what were some of your biggest challenges? Did you find that you had more patience after you'd gotten a little bit older? And did you find that fellow teachers were running into some of the same challenges that you ran into?
Yes. Once I spent that time in industry, as a senior supervisor, I realized the type of technicians that I wanted and the skills that were necessary. So when I returned to the teaching profession at the high school level, I knew what skills students should have. And although it was not popular for me to assign homework and assign science projects, that was the thing that I did along with other activities so that students were successful, not only at the end of the year when they took the end of a course test, you know, state test, but they would be successful in college as well as in their jobs once they finish their educational process. And I have to admit that I was quite successful because prior to going to this high school, I did not understand why the schools, not just science schools, but schools in general, scoring on the state tests were relatively low compared to other high schools in the county and the state. But once I implemented my plan, I was able to raise the intercourse test significantly so that our schools compare favorably not only with the county schools, but the state schools as well. Now, like I said, I was not a popular teacher at that particular time because of the homework and the science projects. But once the students got those intercourse tests at the end of the year, and more importantly, once they entered their colleges, they realized that the hard work that I required of them was paying off because they were successful. And so when I see them on the street now in the shops or whatever, they come up to me and they're very happy that they had me as a teacher.
So according to Port City Daily, 6 out of every 10 Brunswick County students qualify for free and reduced lunches. That is a high percentage of students who are in poverty in
about
Brunswick
55,
County.
I think the actual number is 55 or 56% of our students that come from poor or low-income homes. And so that also provides a tremendous challenge. So that's why it is very important that we get adequate funding from the state as well as the county, Brunswick County, to provide adequate training for, say, starting at pre-K, because this is where you are developing not only social skills but cognitive learning, and your brain is being developed. So you need to start early. Ben Franklin used to say a stitch in time saves nine, you know, that type of thing. You start early, and then you get that investment. And sometimes people do not understand. So particularly our legislators in Raleigh, they want to provide mandates, which are programs that are mandatory. School systems do not have a choice as to whether or not they're going to implement them. But we're taking example, the decrease in class size for kindergarten through third grade. That's fine. We need to decrease class sizes. So now the limit is 20 in the future. Over the past 4 years, the next 4 years, the maximum class size for kindergarten classes will be 18, first grade, 17, second and third grade would be 16. That sounds wonderful because generally, the lower the class, the smaller the class, the better performance you get from your students. The only problem is that the state legislators did not provide funding. So that's quite unfair. And what happened prior to their responding to not only school superintendents, but the public outcry that you cannot implement these changes within 1 year. They spread it out over 4 years, and it provides additional funding, but it still may not be enough. Because what was happening is that the school systems, in order to meet this mandate, unfunded mandate, they had to eliminate computer classes, maybe some physical education classes, band or whatever, or the arts. So we can't afford to eliminate those classes. And the class size that higher the upper grades, they increase. So you're robbing Peter to pay Paul.
So when faced with that conundrum, more money is the answer. Mm-hmm. Who needs to come up with more money, and how would you get them to do it? Are we talking about the state, and do you have relationships with state legislators, or are we talking about people at the county level, or both? And how would you lobby them to send more money to Brunswick County Schools?
It would be both. Let's start at the state level. There was a resolution from Durham County, I believe, that was dealing with this class size decrease, and they wanted Brunswick County to follow suit and come up with their own resolution. And there was a lot of, you know, conversation and discussion at the local level, and I don't think they ever came up with a resolution in support for more funding for the this particular mandate. And I know one of our local legislators, state legislators, indicated that he had not had any meetings with the local board of commissioners or board of education in this regard. And I think we need to have this type of communication with our local legislators, because when they go to Raleigh, they need to represent our interests. And that has not been the case. And in the case of local funding from Brunswick County, I did not realize until I started my campaign this year that social workers are employed by the county rather than the school system. So when the county says that, okay, we're going to provide more funding or funding for additional resource officers, then we also need for the county to provide additional funding for social workers. And of course, the school provides for the counselors. We have a formula in Brunswick County, which is a good formula, in that I think 36.5% of all tax revenues will go to the school system. When you consider the problems that we're having with student achievement as well as school security, I think that formula may be moved up to 37.5%, say. Or if you want to use a rule of thumb, the county and the school board of education can say, okay, let's look at how much funding we have for the sheriff, for law enforcement, because in past years, the amount of money that the county gave, provided for the school system was higher, higher than what they were given to the law enforcement, the sheriff department. And that seemed to be changing. It's equal, or the law enforcement may be receiving more funds. So I'm saying, okay, when you want to add another school resource officer or deputy to a school, particularly at elementary level, why not provide funding or hire more social workers? And we need mental health specialists. So we need to do all these things. And then I would be an advocate. I don't mind. I'm very outspoken. I write not only talk, but I write about these problems. I have a series of letters to the editor. And the latest one, of course, is not directly related
to education. Letters to the editor in which publication?
The Brunswick Beacon, county papers, Brunswick Beacon, Stateport Pilot. The previous one was also published in the Star News. And I send these letters not only to the local papers, but depending if it's a state issue, I'll send it to the Charlotte Observer, Raleigh Observer. And one particular issue that was related to a legislator from the Winston-Salem area, I sent it to the Winston-Salem paper. So I have a variety of ways in getting my point across.
You're challenging Charles Miller, who was first elected to the Board of Education in 2006. Mm. That's three terms he served, 12 years. Why do you think it's time for him to go? And let's say that you win this challenge and you are elected. You're looking back 4 years. What's different about the Brunswick County school system because you were on the board versus Charles Miller?
One thing would be the difference in our educational background. Like say, I have a PhD in physical organic chemistry. You don't have to have a doctorate in order to serve on the board, but it definitely helps.
Let's stop there. Why do you think that's important? Because there are other Board of Education members who don't have an advanced degree. But why is that an asset?
Yeah, I'm not saying that all board members should have advanced degrees. And that would probably wouldn't be a good idea, because I believe that you have not only diversity in the student body, but diversity in terms of board members in regards to their background. And I use myself an example in terms of the planning board. I did not have background experience in terms of planning, but I served on the Brunswick County Planning Board for 5 years. And I think that was valuable to the board, because I came to them and I looked at issues really just as a citizen, okay? But then I went to workshops and whatnot, and I became quite knowledgeable in regards to planning. So in my particular case, like I said, I have an advanced degree. I know how important education is, because I went from the son of a sharecropper to a doctor, a PhD in physical organic chemistry, a month before my 24th birthday. So I can appreciate, you know, the value of education. So I am retired now. I have a background in education as well as industry. And so I have more flexibility in the case of my opponent. He still has a full-time job. And based upon situations in terms of law enforcement, security in schools in the area, opioid addiction problems. And then, of course, they have the storm that they have to deal with. It takes a lot of time just to fill that job. And then no matter how dedicated you are to, say, the school system, you're trying to serve two different areas at one time. So in my case, I have the background in terms of the work and as well my education and work experience, and I'm retired, and I can put my full effort to addressing the problems of the Brunswick County Schools.
Going back to Hurricane Florence, that state legislators now have agreed to forgive, I think, up to 20 classroom days.
19 or 20, yes. Mm-hmm.
Something like that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think the forgiveness of those days is going to do to some kids who are already facing challenges in the school system? And what would your answer be to that?
It's going to have a negative effect on the students. And I'm trying to weigh that in terms of how we make up those days. I would say even if the state says we're going to forgive all 20 days, I would say, up to 20 days. Try to not to forgive more than 10 days, and I know there would be an inconvenience for families who have already made vacation plans, say for Christmas and Easter. But I feel that we have at least 1 week, maybe close to 10 days. Well, probably 10 days or more for the Christmas break, and maybe about a week for Easter. Somewhere in there, we should, along with teacher work days, we should be able to come up with at least 10 makeup days, because it's going to have a tremendous effect, a negative effect on the students when it's time for them to take the end of course and end of grade test. And you say, well, okay, don't change their vacation plans. But when it's time to receive those scores and those performance ratings for the various schools, then we're going to say, what happened? Why can't we do better, you know, on these end of course, the end of grade tests? All right. So I would say that we should have a compromise, make up at least 10 of those days.
There are only 2 A schools in Brunswick County currently. There are no schools with an F. But how would you characterize the school system's overall performance, and where do you think change most needs to happen?
I would say that the overall performance is mediocre. And the reason I say that is because It's probably 2 years or so ago, not 2014 when I first ran for the Board of Education, but during the time in 2016 when I was running for the Board of Commissioners, the state was concerned about the overall scores of schools throughout the state. And the way they address it is to lower the standards. So I don't think that's the way to go. What we should have done, okay, we have a serious problem here. Let's provide the funding, hire the teachers, hire the support staff, and change the strategy, maybe implement this STEM curriculum. More importantly, implement common core standards. And let's bite the bullet for a year or two, but then in the long term, we would be much better. So I'll just use myself as an example. I think I mentioned it earlier, prior to going to the high school where I taught for 12 years, I did not understand why the schools were not as good, even better than the other high schools in the county or in the state. Because in terms of the income and the jobs that the parents had, the family makeup for that school, it was as good or better than the other high schools, but yet their scores were lower. And once I got there, I realized that a lot had to do with the culture of the school. So like I say, I had to bite the bullet. I was not popular in terms of the students when I was giving them the homework and the science projects. But the strategies that I implemented worked. And we had higher ELC scores in science now, physical science, chemistry, and physics, that compare favorably not only with Brunswick County schools, but with the state as well. So things can be done, but you have to look at it not in terms of the short term, but in consider long-term strategy. Going back to the makeup days, don't look at it in terms of, oh, I've already made plans, you know, for Christmas, and if you take away some days, that's going to have a negative effect on my Christmas plan. Think about the students, not just in terms of what how it's going to affect the end of course test, say, in May or June, but how it's going to affect those students when they get to college or try to get a job locally.
When we look at the issue of school safety, we know that in some areas people are redesigning schools so that they can create a safer actual structure. How is that going in Brunswick County? And is there ever a point when weapons are appropriate in schools and in the hands of teachers?
I know that Brunswick County is going to hire more resource officers. I thought that they had a resource officer, a deputy at all the schools, but I understand now that they may not have those resource officers at all the elementary schools. Now, I personally feel that each school should have at least one resource officer. That being said, some other school systems have considered metal detectors, but I feel that if you have metal detectors, then it seems like you need someone to monitor those machines, that system. And that funding can go maybe in terms of buying, hiring social workers, you know, additional counselors, that type of thing. And I emphatically am against firearms, teachers bearing firearms. I know that if I were a teacher, I would, and I had to use a gun, carry a gun, I would I would resign immediately. And, of course, the teachers in Brunswick County, a significant number of them, feel the same way. There should be some other things that we can do in terms of addressing school safety and security. I was trying to go back to Ben Franklin in terms of stitching time. Says, oh, yeah, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Instead of reacting to some incident at a school, why don't we have the mental health specialists or social workers already in schools? For instance, in Brunswick County, a teacher of the year indicated at a school board meeting early in the year that a main concern of a lot of teachers is the behavioral problems that they have to deal with in terms of students. And you have a behavioral specialist, But you, for a particular school, that specialist may be there only one or two days a week, and they need someone there every day. All right, so that would be one way of addressing that problem, that is, provide funding for appropriate support personnel, like the social workers and the behavioral specialists can deal with the problems immediately. And I know in New Hanover County, they do have a similar situation in terms of the interagency agreement, partnership among the law enforcement, social services, and mental health specialists.
Dr. Flythe, thank you so much for being with us and sharing your views.
Can I add one more thing?
In terms, sure.
It's not directly related to education, but it has to do with the North Carolina Constitutional Amendments, those six amendments.
Yes.
The first two, as I indicated in my letter to the editor, tries to cloud the issue because it's dealing with maybe victim rights and hunting and fishing. Who can be against, you know, those type things? But what they're trying to do is cloud the issue and in terms of the other four amendments. One of them wants to transfer the power to appoint members of about 400 boards in the state, transfer that power from the governor to legislators. And that's not fair because, again, you're just loading the board with the friends, say, of the legislators. And another has to do with filling judicial vacancies. Again, the governor has that power to do so now, but the state legislators want to transfer that power to them so that they can put their friends, you know, into office. And then the thing that would affect the public schools would be the amendment in which they want to decrease the income tax cap from 10% to 7%. And this is the worst time to do that because not only you're trying to improve schools and that type of thing, but we have had two major hurricanes in the last 2 years. And now we want to put a cap, or decrease the cap. We need to have be as flexible as possible in addressing these problems. And if we need to raise the income tax up to a certain level temporarily, you know, a year or two, in order to repair our roads, in order to take care of other infrastructural problems, and then we need to, you know, do it, okay? So anyway, thanks very much for having me today.
Thanks for being with us. Mm-hmm.